So, you know how I was saying that Percy stopped going outside because it's cold?
Yes.
I realized today that's not the reason.
Really?
So, I'm stood in the kitchen, I'm making my coffee this morning, and she sat looking at the window, and I'm like chatting to her. I'm like, do you want to go outside? Do you want to go outside? And she's like running back and forth from like where the stairs down to the garden are to me, meowing at me. I'm like, what are you telling me that there's someone in the garden? Because that's how she acts when the other cat is out there. So I go outside and the other cat is out there. And I'm like, it's okay, just go outside, open the back door. She will not go outside. She will not go outside. And then eventually I go outside with my coffee and then she comes outside. And I realized she's scared.
Because
that big bully tuxedo asshole has scared my baby. And now she won't go outside without me. So it was like she was going like, Mom, can you come and stand with me? And then I went outside and I like, it's cold, but it was sunny today. Like one of those like crisp, like days, blue sky. So I took my coffee, my laptop, and I sat outside to work. And she was having a lovely time. And she was out there for like an hour. And I was like, you poor baby. You've wanted to go outside this whole time.
You just
but because we haven't been going out with you, you're too scared. It made me so mad.
Yeah.
I was like, this is her garden.
Yeah. That's so rude. Also
it's
that it
so
like
rude.
Escalated. You know what I mean? It was like... It was fine and then it wasn't.
It was fine and then it wasn't. So I don't know if anyone has any advice on how to help her regain her confidence.
Yeah.
Because she was such a happy little explorer cat over summer. And I don't want her to lose that. I don't want her to get like scared of going out because I do think it's where we live is so safe. I think it's really good for her to be able to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, when we moved in, the vet said to sprinkle some of her used litter around the garden to like establish her territory. Maybe I need to do that again.
I was just going to say, I wonder if there's some sort of marking you can do. That's
yeah. So I'm going to try that. But if anyone has any advice on dealing with neighborhood bullies.
Yeah. I have an idea. You could.
Tell me.
Get a dog.
Bring Simba over.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So I was over at my parents yesterday. And they're dog sitting for their friends. And so I will post and send you the videos. So this weekend, Simba has a friend to stay. Her name is Tallulah. Because of course it is. And she's a tiny little long-haired sausage.
Yeah, good.
And she's such a Tallulah.
That makes perfect
you
sense.
Know? And at first, Simba was really excited to see her. They're good friends. Very excited to see her. And they were playing and... She's a bit sassy, so she's giving him what for. And we're like, yeah, good for you, Tallulah, because she's a lot smaller than him. And then you could see the moment Simba realized that she wasn't going home.
Yeah.
You could just see it start to sink in. And he kept kind of like getting upset because we were giving Tallulah attention, not him. And like, you would bend down to pet Tallulah and Simba would honestly like walk over, butt swipe her out the way and put his paws up on your legs as if to be like, no, you love me.
Me.
You love me.
That's so funny.
It was so funny. And then eventually he just like walked away like to a corner and put his back to the room and like lay down with his back to everyone. Normally he'll lie like watching the activity in the room. But he had his back to us and we were just laughing. We're like, he's like that kid at a sleepover that suddenly gets like a bit overstimulated and is like, I wonder if I can ask my mom to send them home.
Yeah. I love that because it's like when they're having fun and then all of a sudden they're like, okay, wait, why isn't this dog leaving though? Like, I'm
done.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's so funny.
It was so funny. But yeah, she's very, very sweet. She got a bit upset when her dad left, which actually broke my heart. You know, when they like, then she was kind of sat by the door whining and I was like.
It's the sweetest thing.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's Simba's because he has a weekend sleepover. I wonder how he's getting on. I'm going to have to ask my mum for an update.
Yeah.
How's it going on your end?
Good. Yesterday. Okay. It's the morning and it's cold. And so we have like, we're having what I was calling a cuddle puddle because Cricket was in there snuggling. Millie was snuggling. And then I brought Crumb closer to us. And when I did that, he did a weird little like maneuver to flip back over. Like he was on his back and he like tried to flip. And I think he like pulled a muscle or something doing that, or like, tweaked his shoulder somehow. I don't really know. But so immediately we were like, oh, no, because he wouldn't put any weight on his leg. And we're like, oh, God, like, what did he do? What's happening? Like, of course, Crumb has another ailment. Like, Grant was like worried that he's just constant. But Grant was worried that he'd like dislocated his shoulder somehow. And we're like, oh, God, how do you put a dog's shoulder back in? Like, is it like a human's where you can just kind of pop it in? Or like, what? So we're like looking it up, and like Grant is really good at like when Crumb had his like back was hurting, Grant was really good at like learning types of like dog massages to help. So Grant was like looking it up and trying to figure it out.
He's a dog masseuse now. He really is. What you're telling me?
Yeah. And it's really cute because now when he gets hurt, Crumb will go to him. Like,
oh, stop. It's really cute.
And like Grant has even said,
what a green flag, man. Honestly. I know.
And he's even said, he's like, I've noticed that I think after that happened, like Crumb, like their bond got stronger after Crumb was hurt. Like, okay. Anyway.
So cute. You should marry him.
Oh, good idea. Anyway, so we're trying to figure it out. And like all day, Crumb wouldn't put any weight on his paw. Like I had to carry him outside and like dropped him in the grass, and he had this little paw up. And
the
youngest old man ever, truly. it's a joke. So the whole day, though, we're like worried, and we're like, well, it doesn't. And so we're like testing to see like what if it hurts, but he's not like yelping or anything. So we're like, okay, I don't think we need to like rush him to the vet or anything. We're just going to see if like, you know, if we can keep him not using it and if it'll be okay. And so worked all day, and then a friend was in town, so I met up for a little bit with them, and then I came home, and both dogs suddenly were like they hadn't eaten their dinner until I got back, which is a thing they sometimes do where they're like, okay, good, now we can eat. And so they were eating their food, and I was just like holding Crumb's little damaged paw. And I like was kind of trying to see the same thing of like, oh, does it hurt anywhere still? Like, what's going on? And I like kind of gently like put it on the ground because he had it raised, and then he left it. And I was like, oh, interesting. And then as he like continued to eat, he like left his weight on it. I was like, oh, and me and Grant were both like, what? Oh, OK, maybe he's feeling better. And then like he like got up and he was like walking, and we were like, wait. What? And then all of a sudden, like, he grabs his ball and like rings his bell to go outside, and it's like full just like running. And we were like, what is happening?
What happened?
I'm pretty sure all day his paw was probably fine. His leg was fine. I think he thought that he got hurt, like, or maybe, you know, like, I think it's like, okay, you know, like when you like roll your ankle or something. And it hurts at first, but it goes away pretty fast. I think it was the equivalent of that with his little arm. So it got hurt, and then he was afraid all day to put weight on it. And then finally, when I showed him he could, he was like, oh, great.
Right. I see that.
Yeah.
And that is possible.
Yeah.
Is it also possible that he was like, if I feign this injury, I'm going to get massages and cuddles and carried everywhere?
I would say that, except he seemed miserable. Like, he was so sad. Oh, okay. Yes. Like, that's what I would think normally. But, like, he was just, like, couldn't get comfortable and, like, was hobbling around. And I was like, oh, this poor dog. Like, I would think that if he got, like, extra treats or something. But he didn't. He was just seemed sad all day. And then just showing him, like, hey, bud, I think your paw's okay. And he was like, oh, okay.
Cool, thanks. Wow. Yeah. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see.
He, like, immediately was, like, totally fine. He started barking. Like, we were like, what? Okay, great. It was relieving and also kind of annoying. We're like, good thing I spent all day carrying you around on your non-injured paw. So that was a fun Crumb day.
That's so funny.
Also in that process, though, we realized that Cricket knows another trick. Because we had some friends over and it happened accidentally. And we were like, can we replicate this? So our friend was like adjusting their shoe. So they'd like were standing, but they brought their leg up to like their hip, you know, to like fix their shoelace. And when they did that, Cricket, like a psychopath, jumped onto their leg as like it was a platform. And Liv was like, "Hold me." And we were like, "Whoa." And luckily this person loves cricket, so it was adorable. But we were talking about that, and we're like, I wonder if he'll just do that. So we started to hold up our leg and like call him, and he'll jump onto your leg.
Amazing.
And like make it a little stool. And it's
anything
so
for cuddles.
Cute. Yes. He's passionate. I got a video of it though. I'll have to send it. Post it, whatever it's called. What are the kids calling it these days? But yeah, that's going on.
That's very cute.
Yeah.
That's very sweet. I love pets that cuddled you voluntarily.
That's so
you know,
cute.
Like Percy is not a she's not a cuddler, but we have now hit the point of the year where she will get on your lap because it's cold.
Yeah.
And I'll take it. I will it take it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't care if you're just using me for my body temperature, I will take it. Particularly because my cousin's cat, Suki, is like, oh, I'm going to show you. She's so gorge. She's a little ragdoll mix. So she's just like the prettiest, fluffiest baby.
Oh my God.
You see?
Yeah.
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 Just like so cute,
so cute
and gorge and like so cuddly, like you sit down near her and she like leaps across the room into your lap and is just like, give me affection. And I'm like, oh, mine's broken.
Dang, I didn't get that kind.
I didn't get that one. Yeah. It's a shame.
Yeah. Yeah. But she has other good things going for her, so.
She does.
So, here in the United States, on this very day that this is released, is Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And it's a holiday that Ella doesn't have, but we're going to pretend she does. And I think what better to talk about today than the turkey.
Agreed.
The turkey. I guess let's just get into it. Yeah?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Alexis, what are your Thanksgiving plans?
I think that we might be staying home and like possibly a few people are coming over for a simplified version of a Thanksgiving meal.
Nice.
What
is a simplified version of Thanksgiving meal?
Well, like, you know, often you're making like a huge, you know, there's turkey, there's cranberry sauce, there's mashed potato, like there's so many things. So we might just do like a stripped down version of it. We almost never actually cook turkey.
You're a vegetarian.
I'm a vegetarian. And also, even when I ate meat, I'm not that into the turkey.
Me neither.
So
me
I'm
neither.
Like, for what?
Yeah.
But I do think there's a lot of good sides that are worth cooking. So we'll often do like basically the favorites.
I agree that the sides are the best bit, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Big fan of a side.
So we haven't figured out our menu. There are a few pie recipes I'm excited to try because I love a dessert. So, I saw Allison Roman has a pumpkin pie recipe where she uses like ginger snap cookies as the pie crust instead of a traditional pie crust. And I was like, why hasn't anyone thought of that before? That's brilliant.
That's so good.
Yeah. So, but that being said, the thing that I'm not going to eat is the turkey. And instead I'm going to tell you all the things I learned about the turkey.
Please do.
Okay, great. So I'm going to be specifically talking about the wild turkey. They are uplanded game bird native to North America, which does make sense as to why we eat it here. I'll give them that. Mm-hmm. They are the heaviest member of the order Galliformes or Galliformes. But I do think that sounds very fantasy to me. Like
it does.
Galliformes. So an adult male, also called a tom or a gobbler, normally weighs from 5 to 11 kilograms or 11 to 24 pounds. So it's a big bird. And they can measure up to like 49 inches in length, and the female is a little bit smaller. They get around 11 pounds and can get up to 37 inches long. So a little bit smaller. In case you haven't seen a turkey in a while, they have the classic, like, the males are prettier than the females. Mm-hmm. The males are, like I said, larger. But they also have areas of like red, purple, green, like bronze, and like pretty like feathers all around compared to the females, where the females are sort of just like brown and gray. Mm-hmm. And the mature males also have a large featherless red head and throat. They also have the head has a unique growth called a carnuckle, which may be used to identify certain birds from one another. I think it's like sort of their thumbprint.
Cool.
Yeah. And yeah. When the toms or the males are excited, a fleshy flap on the bill called a snood expands. And this the wattles and the bare skin of the head and neck all become red, enhanced with like with enhanced blood flow, and so they turn like bright red, which I do think is kind of fun. Okay, so there are a few things I learned that I thought were pretty interesting, sort of maybe common misunderstandings of the wild turkey. Mm-hmm. One of them is that they are actually really good at flying. Yeah, you'd think they would just be a grounded bird. They're not.
I thought they were flightless birds.
Nope. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, they can fly. So domestic turkeys cannot fly, but wild turkeys can. And like, despite their weight, they're agile and fast flyers. And they normally live in like open woodlands or like wooded grasslands. So they'll fly beneath the canopy top and find perches. So you'll see them up in trees, and they usually fly close to the ground for no more than like a quarter mile. So they mm-hmm. don't fly for long times because they are heavy birds, but they're actually apparently really good at flying. They also have really good vision and hearing. Apparently, these are always weird ways of putting it, but their vision is like 5 times better than that of a human. And I think they have a better color range than we do. So they can see more of the color spectrum than we can. And apparently their hearing is something like 4 times better than humans. However, they do not have a strong sense of smell, and they have very poor vision at night. That's often how they get killed, is because they will not see a predator until it's too late. And that's why they tend to roost in trees and things, because they're safer up there than they are on the ground. Some other cool things. Turkey poop can help you determine the sex of the bird. Apparently, a male turkey's poop forms a J shape, and a female turkey's poop is shaped like a spiral. And the bigger the poop, the older the bird.
Okay. But couldn't a J poop become a spiral dependent on the angle of the poop?
I don't think so. I think that...
No? Okay.
Nope.
Fine. No, fine.
I need to believe that this is always true. And I think it's nice. I have a feeling it's got to do with the shapes of their respective holes. You know, maybe they're slightly different.
And maybe,
they make a different shape.
Yeah, that makes sense. I see it.
I refuse to Google this any further, frankly.
No, that's so fair.
Thank you.
Don't.
So I'm just going to take it at face value.
That's super valid.
They are loud. The turkey gobble can be heard up to a mile away. And it serves a dual purpose of attracting females and responding to other males who could be like rivals. So I imagine they're sort of just catcalling the whole time. Now more onto the Thanksgiving side of things. Mm-hmm. Turkey was not eaten at like the first Thanksgiving, and nor did it become normal until around the 1800s. Okay. So that was definitely an added thing. And I think part of its popularity actually came from Benjamin Franklin, who was like a huge turkey fan. He actually has letters saying like he compared it favorably to the bald eagle, and said,
wow, big claim.
Yeah, he said, quote, a much more respectable bird and withal a true original Native America. He is besides, though a little vain and silly, a bird of courage. so that is, I do think that kind of sums up America. I'll give him that. They also often have a positive relationship with other wild species, which I thought was very Thanksgiving coded. They will occasionally forage with deer and squirrels and even play with them. And I love that idea. Just like a squirrel playing with the turkey is adorable.
Yeah, that's very cute.
And to make it more worldly, I found out that apparently there were attempts to introduce the wild turkey to Britain in the 18th century, but they were unsuccessful. George Why? II is said to have kept a flock of a few thousand in London, but they were too easy for local poachers to steal, and they were hunted with dogs and then shot out of the trees when they took refuge. Several other populations introduced or escaped. Some of them are said to have survived for periods elsewhere in like Ireland, but they seem to have died out because I think they couldn't find food in the winters successfully on their own. But still thought it was interesting that they tried. They were like, we want this bird here too.
I can see how, yeah, like, you would maybe, because we have pheasants and stuff, yeah, like that, you know, maybe they were like, hey, that's it's like a pheasant cousin. Why not?
Yeah, let's add a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the only other thing that I thought was worth mentioning, the National Wild Turkey Federation has invested over $500 million into wildlife conservation and has conserved or enhanced over 22 million acres of critical wildlife habitat. So,
wow,
like, I think it's kind of cool that, like, even if you're like, I don't, you're not that worried about turkeys or whatever, they are kind of helping the rest of the environments be protected because people really love turkeys. So I thought it was nice.
That is really nice.
Yeah.
Ready, go.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
We got this.
With Mark and Hal?
Oh, you knew this one.
We can't put that out as an ad.
We just did. New episodes every week on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Now it's hewn in rock.
Hewn in rock?
Yeah.
How do you hew something in rock?
With a chisel.
There's only one hew in rock, and it's Huey Lewis.
And the news is, We Got This with Mark and Hal is available every week on MaximumFun.org.
I walked right into that.
Need a gift for a Max Fun fan in your life? Or maybe you need some ideas to fill up a wish list of your own. Heck, maybe you just want to pick up something for yourself as a little treat? Well, the Max Fun Holiday Gift Guide is here for all of your gift-giving and gift-wanting needs at MaximumFun.org/giftguide. Of course, there's show merch like clothing, hats, bookmarks, stickers, even a candle. But there's also a bunch of other cool stuff made by your favorite hosts, like comic books, graphic novels, music, art, and jewelry. Go check out the gift guide and make sure you order soon so things get there in time for the holidays. MaximumFun.org/giftguide.
Do you want to hear some mythology?
Yes.
Okay, so the first thing I wanted to look up was why turkeys are called turkey, right? Because obviously, like, that's a country.
Okay.
And I was like, why did that happen? Was kind of the question that I wanted. I was like, yeah, that's really peculiar.
Yeah.
So what I learned is that it is as a result of most things, it is like most things as a result of a mix up. The turkey got mixed up with the guinea fowl. So basically, English traders were meant to be bringing guinea fowl to America via Turkish trade routes. And so then Americans thought that the bird thought that turkeys were the guinea fowl that had been bought via Turkish trade routes, and they called them turkeys. But actually, they were already there.
Wow.
Yeah. So cool. It's just all a big misunderstanding. So initially, they were called turkey cocks and turkey hens.
Right.
And then they just ended up being called turkeys. So that's the origin of that. So mythology. Because they are endemic to the Americas, there's lots of like fun indigenous stories and folklore about turkey. The one I really liked was from Aztec mythology, because they have a god, a deity called the Jade Turkey or the Chalchi Ototolin. Yeah.
That sounds
okay. Chalchi Ototolin. Okay. So that is the Jade Turkey, also known as the Jeweled Fowl.
Ooh.
And this god in particular was known for cleansing individuals of disease and plague, but also cleansing individual of guilt, which I think is really interesting. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. Elsewhere in North American folklore, there's a Cherokee myth about how turkeys brought fire to the world, gave fire to humans, kind of like Prometheus in Greek mythology, but scorched its head in the process, which is why it has a red head.
Oh, and cute. Then, love that.
Yeah. And then another one I really liked is from the Apache people. And I found this on an Apache blog. Yeah, well, it's from the Indigenous Institute of America's blog. And I'm just going to read what it says because I'm not going to say it better than they do. So it's called The Coyote and the Turkey. And the story says, this is one of our traditional teaching stories of the Apache people. I'm sure that other American Indian nations throughout the Americas may have similar ones, but this is the one about the coyote and the turkey. We call the coyote Mabisi in our language. So one day on a beautiful sunny morning, the coyote was running around looking to see what there was to do and what he could find to eat. Because the coyote is always hungry, he is also hungry for knowledge and understanding, as much as he is hungry in his stomach for food. But in this case, he was really hungry for something to eat. He kept carefully sneaking up on mice and rats, anything that he could find, but nothing satisfied him. He kept getting hungrier and hungrier. Off at a distance, he saw a tall stand of trees and he thought, oh, maybe there'd be squirrels in there. So he took off running. He didn't find any squirrels, but on top of one of the trees, he saw a ball of feathers and it was a turkey. And he looks up and he says, turkey, turkey, I see you up there. I can see you up there. I can see that you're shaking. But if you don't come down, I'll knock the tree down because I'm hungry. And when I get hungry, I can do lots of things. Now, the turkey didn't know that the coyote wasn't strong enough to knock the tree down. He was really scared and shaking and his feathers were fluttering like in a strong wind. And the coyote said, turkey, turkey, come on, you better come down. And the turkey wasn't moving. And the coyote said to him, turkey, I don't want you to fly. Because if you take off flying, I'll never be able to catch you. And so the turkey thought, excellent, and took off with a thunder of feathers. He flew and flew and flew. And the coyote ran and ran and ran, thinking, isn't he ever going to fall so I can eat? Well, the turkey did eventually fall down. And the coyote jumped on him and started to eat. And he was enjoying himself so much. But all of a sudden, he thought he saw a man with a stick coming up to hunt him. So he took off running and running. Eventually he paused because he was out of breath and he was tired and he turned again. And then he saw another man coming up to attack him. So he took off running again. And then he took off running again because he thought there was another man coming to get him. And he lay down on his back. But then he realized that it wasn't a man coming to get him at all. It was the turkey feathers stuck behind his ears where he had been eating.
Oh.
And so that is what happens when you try and attack a turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was quite funny, the idea that like the kind of presence of this turkey lingered in the coyote's peripheral vision and kept him running. And I'm sure the coyote regretted eating the turkey.
There's
also another fun story about how all of the different colors of corn that you can find, that comes from the turkey as well. There's a story also, I think, with the Apache people about how the turkey shook its feathers and corn of different colors fell from its feathers.
Cool.
So yeah, lots of cool turkey stories.
Yeah.
It's interesting how like you've got some turkey stories, particularly from like the Aztecs and I think the Mayans, where the turkey is like revered as a god.
Mm-hmm.
And then across like some of the other North American people, the stories about turkeys being quite gullible.
Yeah.
And then before I finish, one of my favorite poems of all time is called Talking Turkeys by the late, great Benjamin Zephaniah. And I thought I would read it.
Yes.
Because it's just great. Okay. So Talking Turkeys. Be nice to your turkeys this Christmas, because turkeys just want to have fun. Turkeys are cool. Turkeys are wicked. And every turkey has a mum. Be nice to your turkey this Christmas. Don't eat it. Keep it alive. It could be your mate and not on your plate. Say, yo, turkey, I'm on your side. I got lots of friends who are turkeys. And all of them for Christmas time. They want to enjoy it. They say humans destroyed it and humans are out of their mind. Yeah, I got lots of friends who are turkeys. They all have a right to a life, not to be caged up and genetically made up by a farmer and his wife. Turkeys just want to play reggae. Turkeys just want to hip hop. Can you imagine a nice young turkey saying, I cannot wait for the shop? Turkeys like getting presents. They want to watch Christmas TV. Turkeys have brains and turkeys feel pain in many ways, like you and me. I once knew a turkey called Turkey. He said, Benji, explain to me, please. Who put the turkeys in Christmas and what happens to Christmas trees? I said, I'm not too sure, Turkey, but it's nothing to do with Christmas. Humans get greedy and waste more than need be, and businessmen make loads of cash. Be nice to your turkey this Christmas. Invite them indoors for some greens. Let them eat cake and let them partake in a plate of organic grown beans. Be nice to your turkey this Christmas and spare them the cut of the knife. Join Turkeys United and they'll be delighted and you'll make new friends for life.
I love it so much.
It's so good.
Why am I crying? It's not even sad.
It's the best poem ever. Benjamin Zephaniah is like, yeah, one of the British greats. I love him so much.
He passed away
last year. And I had the pleasure of working with him a couple of times. And he was like a hero of mine growing up. Yeah. So that was very cool. But yeah, be nice to your turkeys this Christmas.
It really, something about also the last part of like, let them come in, eat some greens,
have some beans. He was famously a vegan. So he was like plant-based and yeah, it does. It strikes a chord, doesn't it? Be nice to your turkeys this Christmas, guys.
Be nice to your turkeys this Thanksgiving. Look, follow your heart.
Maybe just have like a mac and cheese.
What if
I mean, look, do what you want. Like, I can't chat because...
You will.
I will. Yeah, I don't know. It's an ongoing debate.
I know.
But yeah.
I mean, it's not Ella's fault. Ella can only eat three foods, so...
And honestly, that is true. Yeah. There's so little for me, guys. But,
You know,
if you are going to consume turkey, kindly raise turkey.
Yeah. At least
turkey
say thank you to your turkey.
At least say thank you. Be thankful for your turkeys this Christmas and this Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And if you have to eat one, then go for one that's had a nice life.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
You know, one that's had a bit of time to watch TV and play some games and hang out. You know?
Yeah. You should all have to spend a day with our turkeys before we eat them.
Yeah.
Just taking them on a walk. Hanging out.
Being like, listen.
I'm sorry,
bud, but this was fun.
Yeah, I had a blast. Show them your favorite video game, you know, see if they like it.
Yeah. Maybe see it like, because the Mayans, for example, would like, would really worship turkeys, but then they would sacrifice them to their gods.
Right.
So it's like an honor, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Honor your turkeys.
Honor your turkey, yeah.
Honor your turkeys.
Gobble, gobble. if I may say, gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble.
Okay, so it's Thanksgiving, so I'm thankful for this podcast and everyone that listens to it. And I am thankful for all the Ready Pet Goes that have been sent for all the years. And I'm thankful for the people in the future that are going to send their Ready Pet Goes to comfortcreatures@maximumfun.org. I don't know. Ella, what are you thankful for this Thanksgiving?
I am thankful for you. Oh. Very thankful for you. And I'm also thankful for this podcast. I'm thankful that at a time where the internet is mean, we get to be on the nice internet. I'm really thankful for that.
It's really true.
It's really nice. And I'm thankful of our creatures. Yeah. All of our darling angel creatures. I'm very thankful for them.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm thankful that next year I'm going to get to meet Crumb Cricket Maud and Millie.
That's true.
I'm super thankful for that. Oh my God, that's really exciting.
Ah, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
The amount that I'm excited for you specifically to come here, like, versus the wedding is probably not, the proportions are wrong, probably. But like so much. And then Ella will be here and then I can take her to this place also. And it's like,
I'm so excited. So it's going to be so great.
You know. Okay. Well, listeners, let us know what you're thankful for. And I hope that you're eating well today, or if you're not partaking in this holiday, because it's a weird one. If you don't feel like eating, you can skip it.
Yeah.
I hope that you're having a nice day.
I always hope you're eating well regardless.
Yes. Oh, yeah, true.
You know? That too.
Yeah, I didn't mean skip. Eating. You should still eat.
Yeah. Tell us your favorite pies.
Oh, yeah.
That's also fun.
Tell us your favorite pies.
We're not a big pie nation in the same... We like a savory pie. Mm-hmm. You know
yeah,
what I
you
mean?
Have
we
go more for savory like pies. A shepherd's
like a gravy-laden pie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love our sweet treats over here.
Mm. We don't do a lot of like... I've never had a pumpkin pie. Oh. I would love to know what the deal with that is.
Wow. Okay, well...
Yeah. You know.
I guess come on over.
Yeah, man.
What was I going to say? I don't remember. So I guess thanks for listening. I hope you're having a good Thursday. I've been Alexis B. Preston.
I've been Ella McLeod.
Maximum Fun, a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.